It's time to, once again, to break open God's Word in the Psalms in this Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. And you can hear all of these Soulful Psalms every day in its own podcast, podcastcentralew10.com, or on the EWTN app, or even on Spotify or iTunes, your favorite secular podcast outlet. You can hear the Soulful Psalm segment each and every day. And today, we're going to take a look at Psalm 118. 118 is a Hallel Psalm, so 113 to Psalm 118, and also Psalm 135 are called the Hallel or the Praise Psalms. And of that grouping, Psalm 118 is the longest of those Psalms. So we're not going to get through this whole thing today. But just like the rest of these Hallel Psalms, there's no attribution. So in other words, there's in the prescript, it doesn't say who wrote the psalm, but they are psalms of praise and honor of God. So you know they're going to be good. All right. So Psalm 118, again, is no prescript. So it just starts with verse 1. Give praise to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. All right, so in the previous Grail translation, which is still being used today for Liturgy of the Hours, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. All right, so different word choice here. Give praise to the Lord, his mercy endures forever. Both still very good translations of the Hebrew words there. And since this is a Hallel Psalm or a praise psalm, right, it makes sense that he used the word give praise to the Lord, right? Give praise to the Lord, for he is good. All right. And then I love this next little section, these next few verses here. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his mercy endures forever. All right. So very interesting grouping here. So we have the house of Israel, the house of Aaron, and those who fear the Lord. All right. So obviously, he's talking about Israel here. He's talking about the nation of Israel, the tribe of Israel. The 12 tribes that of Israel, right? But notice it doesn't say house of Judah, bless the Lord, right? Because here I think it's talking about united tribes. So the 10 tribes in the north and the 2 tribes in the south. So Israel in the north and Judah in the south. But it doesn't make a distinction with Judah. You know, so I think they're talking about the complete full house of Israel. In other words, let all of Israel say, with undivided hearts, with unanimity, with one voice, let all of Israel say, his mercy endures forever, or his merciful love, hesed, his merciful love endures forever. Then let the house of Aaron say. So now they're talking about the priesthood here, right? So you have Aaron, who's the high priest, and you have the priests, you have the Levites. So the 12 tribes of Israel, then there's a 13th tribe, which is the tribe of Levi, which is a priestly tribe that serves the priestly needs of the other 12 tribes. All right, so it's addressing all of Israel, then the 13th tribe of the Levites through the high priest Aaron. And then those who fear the Lord. Again, the word Yareh is used there in Hebrew, honor, reverence, and respect. So not just the Israelites, right? Not just the Levites, that 13th tribe. Everyone, let those who fear, who honor, reverence, and respect God, say his mercy endures forever. Now, those can include people who are searching for truth, who are searching for meaning, and they're not finding that truth or meaning in anything in the culture, right? So because ultimately that space is created in your heart by God for him, right? That space in your heart is for God, and we try to fill that space with all these other things because we don't like organized religion. we don't understand. We don't want to understand or make any real effort to understand what the church actually teaches about things and why it teaches. We're just angry because the church doesn't think or act like the culture, right? So that doesn't create room in our hearts for God to work, right? Which is why evangelization is so important. And one of the main ways to evangelize is by witnessing to our faith. Giving thanks, and like the psalm says, giving thanks and praising the Lord, you know, as a public witness of our honoring of God, you know, so that people may see the good that you do and give honor, praise, and glory to God, as Jesus says. I called on the Lord in my distress. He has answered and freed me. Right, so we see this theme recurring in the Psalms again, crying out to God for help. We're in distress. We're separated somehow from God's love, and how the Lord answers us. He comes into our lives because we're asking Him to. We're inviting Him to come in and fill that space in our lives, in our hearts that's missing. That's because that's just for Him. That's just for God. He has answered and freed me, right? So the idea of freeing, that means if you were freed, that means you were caught up. You were enslaved to something. You were caught up in something. But now that God has come into your life, you are now free, right? Now think about the vices that we're attached to as human beings, the pleasure, you know, whether that's pornography or food or whatever vice that may be, we get caught up in those things, become slave to those things. And it's the love of God, His merciful love, that sets us free. The Lord is at my side. I do not fear. What can mankind do against me? Again, very reminiscent of David in 2 Samuel 17 when he's fighting Goliath, when he confronts Goliath and lets Goliath know that, you know, you come to me with sword and javelin and spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord, the Yahweh Sabaoth, the God of armies, whom you have defied. I come to you in the name of the Lord, David says to Goliath, because he recognizes that God is fighting with him and for him. He's not alone in the battle, and neither are we. David drives that home in 2 Samuel 17, and the psalmist here drives this home. What? There's nothing to fear. What can mankind do against me? What's the worst that could happen? If we stand up for Jesus, what is the worst that can happen? Right? We get deplatformed on social media. So what? We lose a few friends. So what? That means they were fair weather friends. They weren't your friends in the first place if they can't respect your beliefs that are at the core of who you are, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I was talking about this with a friend last week about even when we worry, even when we fear, it does not change God's timing or the outcome. All it does is bunge us up while it's going on to then not have the peace that God wants us to enjoy while we're waiting on Him to bring something into our lives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that sometimes we have to be patient and wait.
Yeah.
Hard to do. I'm an impatient person. You know, I don't like sitting in traffic because I'm recognizing more and more is how valuable my time is.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, sitting in traffic is a waste of time. And the thing is, I mean, you can't help it. I mean, there's nothing you can do if there's an accident. There's nothing you can do. Like the other day, we were going out to dinner. Yeah. Right? There was that massive accident that closed the entire freeway.
Yeah.
You know, so everybody was coming off and trying to use the streets to get home. And it was just a complete mess.
Yeah.
You know, it took forever to get back to the hotel from the Shrine up in Hansville. But you know, and you just have to be patient. Yes, you have to wait. And sometimes in those moments, God's teaching you something, just like you were alluding to there. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And continues in verse 7. The Lord is at my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on my foes. Yes, the foes cannot defeat us. Why? Because God is fighting with us and for us. No question, no doubt. I love that. The Lord is at my side as my helper, right? As the word is azer there in Hebrew. It's the same word that's used in Genesis for helpmate, right? So when he brings the woman into existence at the man's side, it's azer kenegdo, helpmate, azer kenegdo. And it's the same word azer here that's used for helper, but more than just like, oh, just help me lift this thing. I mean, it's partnering, right? We're in this together. I love that piece of it. And why? Because now that God is at my side, he's my helper, I shall look in triumph on my foes. See, look, the triumph hasn't happened yet. See, it hasn't happened yet. But he's so confident, the psalmist is so confident that God is going to be with him, that he is already anticipating the triumph, right? It's just like all of us. We're anticipating heaven. We're looking forward toward heaven, eternal life with God forever. That's the goal. That's the point of everything that we're doing. We're living here in order to get there, right? In order to get to our true eternal home with God and the saints in heaven. I love that. And then the last couple of verses here, it's much longer than this, but we only have time for a couple more verses. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. And then we have a synonymous parallelism here. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Okay, woo, love that. So trusting in the Lord is better than trusting in any human person or any human condition on earth. So our trust must always, always be in the Lord. The same trust that the Blessed Virgin Mary had.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.